Welcome to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by student media and UI's editorially independent student newspaper, The Argonaut. KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, and entertainment information on the UI campus and the Mosca community.
Support for KUOI News comes from the American Humanist Association and the Palouse Coalition of Reason, made up of atheist, free thought, and humanist groups working together in the Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho area. For more information, please visit PalouseCOR.org.
Welcome to KUI News for Friday, April 13th. I'm Elizabeth Rudd, covering for Dylan Brown. On today's show, we're going to try to counteract the hocus pocus that goes along with Friday the 13th by giving you round two of the Horse Thieves from Spokane, Washington, which you can hear performing live in the KUOI studio later on. In the news today, Matt Ma will give us some in-depth insight to tenure, a word many of us know but might not quite understand. Later on, I will be giving you the Argonaut editorial board's take on the matter and whether or not it still serves the purpose with which it was initially established. But before that, we have Katie Sword, who will tell us why University of Idaho Associate Professor of Geochemistry Karen Harp was named one of the top 300 professors in the nation. And finally, Kaysen Christensen will tell us about a barbershop quartet that has popped up on the Palouse. In the sports world today, Theo Lawson will tell us all about the latest former Washington State coach to join the Vandals, Mike Levenseller. Kevin Bingaman will give us the results of the volleyball team's opening tournament at WSU, and Charles Crowley will tell us what is ahead for women's tennis. And finally, to mix things up a bit, Chloe Rambo will point us in the direction of some funky sites to check out in this week's website roundup. But first, this news. ASUI President Samantha Perez announced that Hannah Davis and Nick Tunison will be the 2012-2013 ASUI President and Vice President Thursday afternoon in the Idaho Commons. Davis and Tunison won the election with 1,130 votes, making up 52% of the total voters. The eight open Senate seats were filled by Allie Fuller, Hallie Smith, Hannah Sandov, Michael Cullen, Sadie Grossbaum, Jonathan Wakeman, Shelby Donald, and Steve Kleep. Perez said the Senate did not meet the required amount of votes for districting, so the seats filled were not based on those requirements. To read more about the winners, pick up a copy of The Argonaut or visit uiargonaut.com. And now we'll hear from Matt Ma on tenure.
It's expected that Idaho's flagship university maintains high-quality faculty for high-quality education. The University of Idaho's tenure policy is designed to ensure such faculty, but not everyone is sold on its significance. Denise Bennett, newly tenured senior instructor in the School of Journalism and Mass Media, said she might be too fresh to the process to understand tenure's meaning for her, but times have changed. She said, "I don't know that the tenure system works in today's world. At least from my experience here, I don't think there's pressure on faculty to not deal with certain course content." University of Idaho policy defines tenure as a condition of presumed continuing employment which can be terminated only for adequate cause. Faculty members begin their tenure track from the first year of employment and undergo annual evaluations. A more thorough third-year evaluation assesses the candidate's tenure progress with a review of their curriculum vitae, professional portfolio, various evaluations, and reports with additional materials as the candidate deems appropriate. University of Idaho Provost Doug Baker said a typical process for the award of tenure spans 7 years. He said, "It's a tremendously complex undertaking. We're looking for people in whom we have confidence that they're going to continue to perform at a high level, and typically that does happen." Scott Wood, Dean of the College of Science, was given tenure as part of his UI hiring package in 1991 when he transferred from a previous tenured position. He said any system can be misused, but the proportion of faculty members who've stopped caring about their students or ceased productivity is small. He said, "Tenured professors do have a responsibility to not use the classroom as a bully pulpit for some particular point of view, especially as that drifts away from their area of expertise. It can happen, but I think academia's been pretty good at policing itself." Wood said tenure enables instructors and professors to, quote, "fully explore their areas of scholarship without fear of unreasonable institution or governmental repercussions. This, in turn, can enrich classroom discussions in which students or professors may otherwise be hesitant." Wood said tenure also aids retention, since workers in the private sector, especially in the fields of engineering and science, stand to make significantly more money but may lack tenure's job security. Bennett said her teaching goals, work ethic, and commitment to students won't change. She said she still wants to stay current in her ever-changing field and provide production students with the tools and resources they require. She said, "I don't really care about titles. I think a lot of people abuse their titles, and titles can be meaningless, just like tenure can." For KUOI News, I'm Matt Ma.
Thank you, Matt. Up next, we have Katie Sword with a look at UI's top 300 professor.
Karen Harp has only been at the University of Idaho for a year, but she's made a big impression on the faculty and the students. Mickey Gunt, department chair for geological science, said she has a real dedication for teaching, a real commitment, and she works really hard for prepping classes, but most importantly, she really likes to teach. Harp was named one of the top 300 professors by the Princeton Review for 2012, selected from a pool of more than 42,000. Harp said she received an email and thought it was spam. "I didn't know about this project, and then I realized it was legitimate and a big deal. I know so many people that I think are great teachers, and I don't think of myself that way, so it means so much to me that this came from students," Harp said. The Princeton Review selects their annual list based on reviews from RateMyProfessor.com and then narrows down the 1,000 they select based on interviews with faculty and students from each professor's university. Harp stressed that this means so much to her because she was selected by her students. "That's why you do this in the first place," Harp said. "That's what matters." Harp started teaching in 1994, which she called a disturbingly long time ago, spending the last 12 years at Colgate University before moving to Moscow so that her and her husband could work in the same state. Simon Kattenhorn, a colleague in the Department of Geological Sciences, said Harp has a unique gift in the way she interacts with her students, and that it is clear she impacts her students' lives. Gary Williams, a professor in the English department, collaborated with her last fall to try and link two of their courses. Although the student overlap did not work out, Williams said he was wowed by her extent of knowledge and resources, adding that as a person, she has a blend of intensity and wit that must be very effective in class discussions. Harp also worked with the Honors Program, where Stephen Flores, the Honors Program director, said the students expressed great enthusiasm for her teaching. They note her close attention to students as individuals, praise her academic expertise, as well as her ability to engage students to strive to do their best work, and appreciate the value that she places on students' perspectives and personal development, Flores said. She's noted for her strengths at facilitating discussion and including physical demonstrations of the scientific principles studied, and her collaborative, collegial interest to bring other professors into the course to enrich the class and students' education. Harp says she has a hard time accepting prizes and awards, trying to keep a low profile, but her students who rated her on RateMyProfessor.com have the highest recommendations for her. All responses emphasized how helpful Harp is to students, her passion, and how much they enjoyed her classes. Gunt summed Harp up, saying simply that the university and the students are lucky to have her. For KUI News, I'm Katie Sword.
Barbershop quartets are known for their pipes, but the ones on the Palouse can also be recognized by their jazzy garb. Kason Christensen has a story.
Garishly colored striped shirts and flat straw hats might characterize barbershop quartets, but on the Palouse, they wear gold vests. In the spring of 2007, a group of Palouse men came together over their love of singing, much like another group came together almost 70 years before. Now known as the Barbershop Harmony Society, the Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America started in 1938. The name was a dig on the alphabet soup of FDR's New Deal. The Barbershop Harmony Society now regulates official barbershop music. They have rigid rules for song arrangements considered barbershop. Dan Pierce, a member of the Palouse Harmony Singers, said barbershop is a specific set of chords. Unlike most choral groups, which have soprano, alto, tenor, and bass parts, barbershop has tenor, lead, which is usually the melody, baritone, and bass parts. Pierce was introduced to barbershop singing through The Music Man, a 1962 film wherein a famous barbershop quartet performs. Following a performance by female barbershops in Lewiston in 2006, some friends invited Pierce to form a barbershop group on the Palouse. Pierce said they are now a bona fide chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society, with articles and bylaws in accordance with Barbershop Harmony Society rules. Their responsibilities include information and education. Pierce said they go to schools to perform and talk about barbershop. He said they also perform at community events. Last year, they performed at Moscow's Veterans Day program. They also do Christmas caroling and singing Valentines. Doug Ashburn, a member of the group since 2009, said they are looking for men of all ages to participate. Ashburn said the Barbershop Harmony Society provides professional instruction for chapter members. Each year, the Palouse Harmony Society holds a performance for barbershop groups in the area. This year's performance will be Saturday, April 21st at 7 p.m. at the Living Faith Fellowship at 1035 South Grand in Pullman. Tickets are $10. Pierce said the show is the main money raiser for the group each year. The money raised helps pay for the group's operating costs, like their rehearsal space at the Moscow First United Methodist Church. The group's director also gets a small stipend, according to Pierce. Ashburn said the show was a good opportunity for community members to hear a different kind of music. For KUOI News, I am Kason Christensen.
I've been sleeping in. I've been playing hooky with all my friends, with all my friends. I am a traveling man.
And now for sports today, Theo Lawson will tell us about the 8-mile journey receivers coach Mike Levenseller made to UI.
When Mike Levenseller returned to Pullman in 1992, it was to build a receiver corps around then-Washington State quarterback Drew Bledsoe. Nearly 20 years passed, and Levenseller, a 1978 graduate of WSU, didn't picture himself retiring in anything other than the Cougar Crimson. When ex-WSU coach Paul Wolfe was let go, Levenseller and the entirety of Wolfe's staff followed closely behind. "I honestly thought that I would end, finish out at Washington State, and go off into the sunset," Levenseller said. The departure of ex-Idaho offensive coordinator Steve Axman and a fair majority of his staff presented Levenseller with a favorable situation in Moscow, where less than a month ago he was named the Vandals receivers coach. Though Levenseller may not have foreseen Idaho in his future, the former NFL receiver brings valuable experience to a youthful group of Vandal receivers. "You can tell he was a player and brought that to his coaching ability," junior receiver Daniel Micheletti said. According to Micheletti, Levenseller has implemented change to a receiving corps that graduated 3 seniors. "When he got here, he changed everything 180 degrees. We restarted from the ground up, and from our stance to how we cast to the little things, everything is important that we do," Micheletti said. Coach Rob Akey is familiar with Levenseller, and the two met when Akey was hired onto the Wazoo staff in 1999. "He's got a reputation of being, if he's not the best receivers coach, he's one of them, and I was able to witness it firsthand," Akey said. "To be able to get him to come over here and help us as a receivers coach / passing game coordinator, I'm really happy about it." Mike Levenseller's career has taken him from Pullman to Cincinnati, from Toronto to Tampa Bay, and whether or not he concludes his career in Moscow or not, it hasn't taken long for the receivers expert to make an impact on the program he can now call his own. For KUOI News, this is Theo Lawson.
Volleyball began its season on the road with a tournament at Washington State. Kevin Bingaman has the results.
After an opening tournament at Washington State, the Vandal volleyball team will continue its spring season with a home tournament this weekend. Last week, the Vandals competed in a scrimmage-type format at Washington State, where they played the host Cougars, Seattle University, Eastern Washington, Central Washington, Montana, and Boise State. The matches were 2 sets each. While the purpose of the tournament is just for experience and improvement, Idaho's Julia Church said it was nice to play real volleyball after weeks of practice. The Vandals bring back a lot of experience on this year's roster, and Buchanan said she was happy with their performance. But the spring also gives opportunity for the younger players to get experience and move up the depth chart. Without the 3 seniors from last year's roster on the floor, there is an adjustment that has to be made. One of the spots that has to be filled this season is the libero spot that last year's senior Cassie Hamilton held. Buchanan said Janelle Chow made a good case for the spot with her performance over the weekend. The Vandals' focus will now shift this weekend for the home tournament. Like last weekend, Buchanan said the goal is not just wins, but improvement and experience. Matches will be going on in Memorial Gym all day with a number of teams that include Washington State, Gonzaga, and Eastern Washington. For KUI News, I'm Kevin Bingaman.
Thanks, Kevin. Moving on, Charles Crowley will tell us what fans can expect from the upcoming matches for women's tennis as they face Oregon and Nevada.
The University of Idaho women's tennis team will play its first home matches of the season this weekend if the weather cooperates. Regardless of location, the matches will prove competitive. Oregon, Idaho's Friday competition, is a Pac-12 team that has beaten several ranked teams this year. And Saturday's Nevada match is an important conference matchup. Idaho coach Daniel Pullock said the Ducks are good, but he has confidence in the Vandals Friday. Sophomore Ali Lozano said the Vandals have what it takes to beat the Ducks, and they won't let their hype intimidate them. The Vandals and the Wolfpack are both looking for their first WAC win Saturday. Their season records may not look much alike, but Pollock said the two teams are actually very similar, and he expects a long, grueling match. Idaho doesn't usually play Nevada and Oregon, so the competition features new faces. Freshman Sophie Vickers said unfamiliarity will only make these tough matches that much more interesting. Playing in Moscow gives Idaho something of a home advantage, since Nevada will drop altitude and Oregon has to come up from sea level. Plus, Idaho loves playing at home. Pollock said there is no reason they can't play their best tennis on these courts, and he'll welcome a more Vandal-friendly crowd than they've experienced so far. Vickers said playing their first outdoor match will be great, but playing at home will make it even better, and they anticipate a good crowd. Pollock said two wins this weekend would make him quite happy, though one would be great too. He said Idaho can beat anyone when they show up with the goods. Idaho faces Oregon at 4 p.m. Friday, and Nevada at 11 a.m. Saturday. Chairs will be set out alongside the courts. The Vandals hope they will be full. For KUOI News, I'm Charles Crowley.
Well, I wish I was a cowboy, go out riding on the range. I take off from this city, I might stop going insane. I camp out on the prairie, I might find my peace of mind. And I'd leave this dirty city far behind.
The internet is a vast sea of random websites, but Chloe Rambo has taken the time to hone in on a few. And here she is now with this week's website roundup.
Here's a little list of my favorite websites right now, and over at RAR, we like to call this the website roundup. First off is Bikes and Babes, at http://bikesandbabes.tumblr.com. This Tumblr features so many old-school bicycles, and I'll be honest, because I ride a baby pink and light green 70s Schwinn, I have a huge weakness for cute old-school bikes. Second, we have Scream Sirens, at http://screamsirens.com. If you could imagine a zombified Marilyn Monroe covered with tattoos, you'd have a perfect scream siren. This site, created by a group of Spokane-area women obsessed with the horror counterculture, is a mecca of horror movie reviews, pin-up style tips, and all things sultry and terrifying. Next, we have Go Longboard, Original Skateboards, at http://originalskateboards.com. The one thing I like better than actually skateboarding is oogling fancy skateboards online and watching amazing boarders carve down the most ridiculous of paved roads. The Original Skateboard site is my ultimate summer skateboard fest inspiration. Next, we have WeHeartIt at http://weheartit.com. This website is the love child of Pinterest and every Tumblr on the block. I like to call this site my own personal inspiration central. Next, we have Little Chief Honeybee at http://honeybeeinthecity.blogspot.com. With a blog theme like big hair, ugly shoes, and tattoos, how could you not love this girl? Style blogger Kayla B is a tattooed and pierced graphic designer with an adorable fashion sense and a zillion floral dresses to prove it. I love her. Next, we have Fred Flair at http://www.fredflair.com. The heavenly home of Batman-themed USB drives, ice cream cone-shaped desk lamps, and pool floats that look like giant frosted donuts. I want everything on this website, and take a look at it, you will too. My last is Reasons to Be Fit at http://reasonstobefit.tumblr.com. Couch potato no more. This fitness-focused Tumblr makes me want to get outside and move. From riding my bike on the trail to playing soccer with friends, Reasons to Be Fit always puts a bit of spring in my step. For KUOI News, I'm Chloe Rambo.
As promised, we are circling back to 10 years so I can give you the Argonaut Editorial Board's thoughts on the whole concept. Does it work? Are teachers just lazy? Do we get what we pay for as students? When we write our tuition checks, we expect to get what we pay for, a quality education worth thousands of dollars. Tenure was initially set up to achieve just that. It was designed to allow teachers to address touchy issues and speak openly with their classes about controversial topics without fear of repercussion. When first conceived, the idea was a positive step for education, but now it seems like an excuse for teachers to become lazy and be rewarded for minimal work. Tenure locks a teacher into a position they cannot lose without an adequate reason, which are typically extreme cases and might lead some professors to fall behind in their area of expertise. Tenure allows professors to keep their jobs without being challenged or pushed to keep up with the latest technology, research, or active professional experience in a particular field. In other words, laziness is encouraged. Tenure allows professors to keep their jobs without being challenged or pushed to keep up with the latest technology, research, or active professional experience in a particular field. In other words, laziness is encouraged. Our world is constantly changing, a lot faster than 10 years ago, and students expect professors to be equipped to educate us about these changes. This does not apply to all tenured professors. Many of them are active researchers who take sabbaticals, leaves of absences, or spend summer months to further their education, which is a main point of tenure. But some do not. Tenure doesn't apply to every instructor. One of the best teachers of our college education might not be tenured. It is typically required for teachers to have 7 years of teaching experience to become tenured, but even then, some are not included. Tenure is reserved for teachers with a master's or doctoral degree. The stipulation excludes teachers who have extensive professional experience in their fields and can provide real-life focused education, an important asset in developing a career after graduation. These teachers are classified as clinical, a change the Idaho State Board of Education made earlier this year. Clinical instructors work under a 3-year contract and do not focus on research, but instead on outreach and teaching. Introducing clinical instructors creates a more diverse pool of teachers for students and allows for different styles of education that is built upon extensive professional knowledge. The position is a long enough period to make the hire worthwhile, but short enough to challenge them to stay up to date with their teaching methods. Combining clinical and tenured instructors gives college students the opportunity to get a well-rounded education. College is a challenge for students. We challenge ourselves to make new friends, to earn good grades, and to be successful in our chosen careers. The teachers whose class we attend should also feel challenged to continue to strive to provide us with the best education they can. We should get what we pay for, quality teachers with an ambition to succeed that matches our own. For the Argonaut Editorial Board and KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd. All right, it's been a wonderful Friday, the 13th, at least for us here at KUI News. Watch out for black cats, everyone. This will conclude our segment of KUI News for today. Check out the Argonauts' brand new, as in launched today, food blog called Crumbs at uiargonaut.com/crumbs or search Pinterest for UI Crumbs. To keep up with more news, visit uiargonaut.com or pick up a copy of the Argonaut every Tuesday and Friday. Look for the next edition of Blot on stands next week, and like us all on Facebook for constant updates about what is happening on campus. If you're a diehard Vandal fan, be sure to check out our sports blog, Vandal Nation, at uiargonaut.com/VandalNation or vandalnation.wordpress.com. And now, I will send you out with some more music from the Horse Thieves live performance in the KUI studio. And remember to tune in live to 89.3 FM or live stream us at KUI.org. For KUI News, I'm Elizabeth Rudd.
Trouble always on my mind, always close behind. Where else could you be? Well, I made plans and promises. I told my friends how it is, and then you come speak for me. Trouble, I don't think you'll ever leave. I don't need enemies, so I ask you please. Oh, trouble, be a friend to me. Oh, trouble, be a friend. You got away with me, always knock me down and keep me on my feet. The good, the bad, the cold, bitter heart, the strong, the weak, falling apart, say trouble, you did this to me. Trouble, I don't think you'll ever leave. I don't need enemies, so I ask you please. Oh, trouble. Be a friend to me. Oh, trouble.
Thanks for listening to KUOI News. KUOI News is brought to you by Student Media in conjunction with UI's Argonaut. For more information about news on this program, navigate to KUOI.org or UIArgonaut.com. If you'd like to submit a story to KUOI News, feel free to email us at KUOI@UIdaho.edu or arg-radio@UIdaho.edu. KUOI News is underwritten by UI's own student magazine, Blot. Blot is on stands twice a semester on UI's campus and throughout the Moscow community. For more information about Blot, navigate blot.uidaho.edu. And remember, KUOI News is committed to bringing you the most current news, sports, opinions, and entertainment information within the Moscow community, the country, and the world.
Support for KUOI News comes from the American Humanist Association and the Palouse Coalition of Reason, made up of atheist, free thought, and humanist groups working together in the Pullman, Washington, and Moscow, Idaho area. For more information, please visit PalouseCOR.org.